Hello, we are the small ensemble from Midwest Bible Baptist Church, and we will be performing a song entitled Nail It to the Cross.
Sing and just let it go and not hold back. You know, that church, your church has a heritage of music. Some of the most talented people over the years, Brother Caleb, have come out of your church, singers and been in college tour groups, and what a blessing. And that those boys sang, and I'm glad for once I could shout or get excited after a song was sung and didn't have to wait. Don't. Wait, it's coming. Oh, yeah! Forget that. Whoever invented that, you know, well, let's go back to the drawing board. Dude, that's got to go, Mike. I was way back in the beginning of this thing, and I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all, man. When you're a Yankee and you don't shout much, and a shout comes, you want to get after it, not wait. My goodness. Well, you want to hear another story? This is a different kind of hunting story. This is, we were hunting for souls in the Philippines. Brother Gomez, Brother Angel, Brother Ballard and myself, and there's one other guy, I can't remember his name, and but anyways, we went to the Philippines. We flew and down to the Philippines. We're with Rick Martin. Brother Angel, probably the largest crowd I ever preached to in my life there. And little beady eyes everywhere under a tent, under a tent, under a tent, out. And what a great time. But we went island hopping, preaching. We split up. You went with Brother Gomez. And Brother Ballard and I were really relieved that he got to go with Brother Gomez. You know, because when you're with Brother Gomez, you got to be the wife. There is just no other way around it. You know, you got to... It's, yes, dear, what do you need now? You know, what do you need? And I'm, hey, listen, when you've been his friends as long as I have, you can tell these stories like that, especially when he's not here. We went to Philippines, Brother Angel then took off, and Brother Ballard and I were together, and I'll say a couple of things about that. But why we were together, we drove in jeepneys. A jeepney is a vehicle that is like a Jeep, but it's elongated and it has benches in the back. And if you ride a public one, there could be chickens or pigs or whatever on board with you. But we were picked up in a jeepney to go to the service. And the way you get around anywhere in the Philippines is honk your horn. Everybody's honking horns, and we can't. We're in traffic, jammed, and we're late. We see what time it is. There's late, and next thing we know, Brother Ballard's missing. He gets on top of the jeepney, going, weedle, 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 and all of a sudden the traffic parted. Literally, he had heard the sound of their sirens that they made. Of the emergency vehicles, they parted. It was Brother Ballard can imitate any sound or person that he wants to. There's some he doesn't want to. They parted, and we drove. We drove through that, and it was amazing. Brother Ballard, out of nowhere, you'll remember this, Brother, out of nowhere, we're driving along, and all of a sudden he comes at me. He has a Bill Clinton mask on. I love you, Filipinos. And he's waving. And they're all pointing at us. Look, there's Bill Clinton. And, you know, it was insane. It was insane. But we went to, flew together. We were island hopping. And you go on a plane and there's pigs and chickens and whatever animals you want to have. I'm a foodie. If you can't tell, I'm a foodie. I like, and they said, do not eat in any of the markets. You will get sick. You know, we're good. You're grilling something. What is that? He got a little grill going. What is it? That's why we don't eat it. We don't know what it is. Well, if you don't eat it, how do you don't know if it's any good? It could be, and so, you know, I ate everywhere, man. They were freaking out that I was eating everywhere. I never got sick one time. I never got sick one time and got to eat all kinds of, we watched them slaughter a cow there, and it was quite a deal. But we would fly, and I'm going to tell you, we went into in catamaran. We were landing, and I said, boy, I've flown enough to, we're coming in kind of fast. And she just goes, yeah, this is not good. We're coming. And we landed. We bounced down the runway, bounced down. And the place where you unload, right there, we're seeing it. And all of a sudden, the plane cocks around, and it tips up, and the wings are just off the ground, and he parks perfectly. And she just goes, are we okay? I see. Man, we made it. So we're going down, and the chickens and the pigs are getting off with their people and their friends and family. And we get up there, and the pilots are standing. He goes, you Americans like good landing, wasn't it? Good landing. Say, real good landing. I'm going to kiss the ground when I get out there. And thank God that I think I'll swim back to where we were. But some funny time, Brother Ballard and I stayed in a compound. One night it was 100 and some degrees, and it was the wall. It was a walled compound, but outside my bedroom, no screens or nothing. You slept, and it was in a, they had a like a screen that would come around your bed, and I looked out on the wall. Rats were running up and down the wall at night, and I hate rats. I don't know about you, but I hate rats. I grew up on the farm, and we'd drowned them from out from under the corn crib and whatnot, and I had them run up my pant leg one time. I squealed like a pig. I squealed. I hate rats, and all night long, the rats, and I'm sweating. I'm laying in bed sweating. Why would I go to the Philippines to lay in bed and sweat? And brother, they told us now, if you see a centipede, you know, that if you see a centipede, be careful. If they bite you, it's like getting shot with a .38. Well, I've never been shot with a .38, so I don't know what that's like. But I don't want to know what that's like. So, you know, I got up. Brother Ballard's in a room across the way. I got up, and I had my flashlight, and I went towards the bathroom. And you don't want me to describe the bathroom. And I get there, and there's a centipede, I kid you not, that was that long. And I took, I had my Crocs with me, and I took it off and started slapping. And the whole family came running up there, and the little boy said, "Don't kill him, don't kill him. That's the biggest one I've ever seen. I want to capture him." I said, "No, I'm going to kill him. If he bites, if this one's a 38, this one's a 357. And I'm not messing with him." And, man, the whole house came up to see what I was making all that racket about. And, of course, Brother Ballard, you know, he's having fun with that. And, again, you know, young people, I'm going to say this before we get into the message. Friendships in life are everything along the way. Good friends that love God. Brother Ballard and I took every class in college together. Every class. Listen to me. I was Cecil Ballard's script writer. For all the funny things he did, I would say it. I would write it, or I would whisper to him, and he'd yell it out loud, and I would get him in all kinds of trouble. It was a lot of fun. But friendships are a joy, and I hope that you'll make good friendships. These part of this to what we're doing here, so you get to meet people, make friendships. Some of you go to a good Bible college and make friendships of a lifetime, and I'm thankful for that. Take your Bible, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, if you will. Tonight, I'm going to speak on this subject, understanding your why. Understanding your why. As a young person, it's important to have your why settled. Why do I do what I do? Why do I live like I live? Why are there things we don't do? Why are there things we do do? I taught my girls growing up they could do anything they need to do in a skirt or culottes. My girls would snow ski. I taught them how to dress right. And people would ask him, "Why are you dressed like that?" And my daughters would say, "Because it's the cool way to do it." And then they would press them and ask them, and they would get to witness to them. There's a reason we dress the way we do, as we do it as unto the Lord. But are you prepared to give an answer for what you believe? Take your Bibles, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, chapter 2 and verse 19, For I, though the law am dead, through the law I'm dead, to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is righteousness to come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Young people, as we begin to understand our why, that I am crucified, I am to be crucified with Christ. Some of you here tonight have never been crucified I'm talking about crucifying your flesh, crucifying your desires, crucifying your wants. You know, I grew up as a young boy. I wanted to be a veterinarian because I loved the animals, and I loved working with the farm animals, especially, and horses and different things. And I thought maybe I would be a veterinarian, and then it would change at times what I wanted to be. But again, it came to the point, and it came to me later in life, what God wanted me to be. But the years that I wasted trying to do what I wanted to do instead of what God wanted me to do. And doing that which is right comes out of your critical thinking. Most young people get their critical thinking from their peers. And I call that shared ignorance. When we need to get our critical thinking from the Bible. Psalm 119, 105 says it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's bow for prayer. We're going to jump into this thing of understanding your why. Or what is critical thinking? Father, bless tonight. We have a generation that's headed for trouble if they don't get their thinking right. And these, the finest. Lord, I've been so blessed to preach to this crowd. Attentive. Lord, responsive, tender-hearted. And yet tonight there may be one here that's lost. It's been playing a game or putting it off or worried about what people would think. And one day it'll wind up in hell because they worried about what somebody would think. Father, we ask that you'd bless tonight. Help me, I pray. Fill me, use me, give great liberty. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the question tonight? What is critical thinking? Listen to me. It is the establishment of your why. Why do I do what I do? Why do I do what I do? 1 Peter, turn there and let's look at it. 1 Peter, again, 3 and verse, I want you to look down in verse 15. 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify your hearts. Sanctify your hearts. Oh, listen to me. Sanctify means to be set apart. Now understand this. There can be no setting apart. Don't miss this. There can be no setting apart without first being born again. You know, Brother Angel, one of the fears I have as a pastor is that one day in heaven, I'm going to see somebody that I love very dearly and prayed for. Hear these words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I knew you not. I wonder if you're sitting here tonight and that's you. That's you. You see, there is no sanctification without first being saved. You have to be set apart unto something. Listen to me tonight. Don't play with your salvation. Don't mess around with your salvation. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, you must be born again. John chapter 14 and verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 2 says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Listen to me tonight. Don't put that off, young people. Don't put that off. If you struggle at invitation time, every time you hear someone preach about salvation and in your gut, you struggle. And if you have to talk yourself into being saved, you're probably not saved. You probably ought to get that settled tonight. Tonight would be a good night. Don't put it off. Don't take a chance. We're living in a day where the trump of God could sound, and the truth is you'd be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. I don't. If you're not saved, hold on to that for a little while. Just hold on to that, because we're going to move on here. You know, it talked about to sanctify your hearts. We're to sanctify our heart unto God. To sanctify our hearts. How do you sanctify your hearts? Listen to me, it starts with giving your heart to the Lord to be used for whatever He wants you to do or be. It took me a long time to get to that point. I thought, again, I love the great outdoors. I'm from northern Wisconsin. I love the great outdoors. I used to spend the winters as I was older, and I would get laid off as a well driller. We'd drill for water, and I'd get laid off. We'd go up ice fishing and snowmobiling in the great North Woods, and all of that time hunting and deer hunting, growing up that way. And how, that's what I thought I wanted. But God had more for me. But yet I never gave Him the more. Till it was later in life. And I wonder what God could have, would have done if I had just sanctified my heart as a young person. That's why I speak with such a burden today, because I wasted years. I know what wasted years are about that I can never get back. Sanctify your heart. Let God have His perfect way in your heart and life. I talked this morning about the fact that He can be trusted. You know, if I'm going to give something of value to somebody, I'm going to give it to somebody I can trust that'll keep it. I have a gun safe at my house. It's fireproof. If my house burns down, my gun safe's going to be there and all my guns are going to be safe. But all my pictures I have are going to be safe. All my papers I have are going to be safe. My wife's dearest possessions are there, and those are pictures of our children that she wants, that are stuck in that, and they're in a safe place. They're secure. Do you understand? I can put my life in God's hands and be safe and secure with whatever happens. Then I want you to understand, Scripture says that we've got to be ready to give an answer. We got to be ready, but sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man. Are you ready to give an answer? Are you ready to answer for why you believe what you believe? Why you're a born again Christian? Why you're a Baptist? Why we go soul winning? Why we dress the way we do? Why do we talk the way we talk? On Friday nights at the Grundy County Speedway, Eric Bryant and I own the concessions of that racetrack every Friday night. We own it, and the purpose of it is to train young people. There's a bunch of my young people all work there, and it's a fun place to work because you get to eat. Amen. You get $15 to spend every Friday night on whatever you want to eat. And can they eat? But when we came there, the language was horrible. It was horrible. Cussing, swearing, carrying on. And the amazing thing, since we came there, the beer sales have gone down. And I like that. And the language has changed. Do you know they got a cuss bucket that if you use a certain word, it costs you $5? Because my wife said, no, you're not going to stand in my line and talk that way. If you're going to be in my line, go get in another. Well, you're at a racetrack. What do you expect? She said to them, I expect men to act like men. I expect men to talk like men. My wife single-handedly at the driver's window where the drivers come, and they started the cuss bucket. And $5 get thrown into them, and then it gets given to our church. We're building a new wing in a building. But to give an answer, there's something different about us. It was said by the director of racing to me, and the president of the racing said, you single-handedly changed the atmosphere of this place. But that's our Christian presence, ready to give an answer. Ready to give an answer. Secondly, now stay with me tonight. You must be preparing. Listen, we've talked about this the last two. You must be preparing to be the next generation. It doesn't happen by accident. I'm glad I waited a long time to get things right. I beg of you, young people, don't wait. Start now preparing to be the next generation. It's by the grace of God that God has used me, and I've been a part of some wonderful things. But if I'm going to be prepared, I must live unto God. I must live unto. Now, the question is always, well, preacher, how do I do that? How do I live unto God? First of all, I must die to self. I must die to self. In verse 20, and again, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. I've got to be crucified with Christ. I've got to crucify the flesh. I've got to crucify selfishness. I'll be honest with you, I'm a very selfish person. People say that Brother Woodward's not selfish because I give. But they don't know what goes on inside of me. Brother Hall, I was standing one day by the game area. What do they call that at the college? Game area or whatnot? I was standing there looking at a pool table and say, look at the junk for Jesus. And God said, well, you have a nice table in your basement. I said, yeah, I do. I know I do. It's good. It's mine. We ought to give it to the college. I can't hear you. And this dialogue, I don't know, it wasn't a long time, but I'm there by myself having this dialogue with God about my pool table. I said, if Brother Mike Hall comes in here, and by the way, I knew he wasn't there. I knew he was at the college or at the high school with the band. Ha! I said, Lord, if you brought him in right now, and he comes in the room, stands next to me, I'll give it to him. And he came in. I said, Lord, he's not supposed to even be here. What are you doing? I said, Brother Hall, would you like a pool table? He said, sure, we'd love it. Well, send the boys down. It's a one-piece slate. They came and got. Brother Little, I think you came with a group of guys to come get it. That one-piece slate is not light. And they came and got. But listen to me, you got to die to selfishness. I don't claim to have perfected this thing of being unselfish. I just know when God speaks to me, I better have the right answer because it all belongs to Him. It's all His. You begin to understand the Scriptures as it lays it out in 1 Corinthians. You now turn there, 15:31. It says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said, I die daily. I'm going to tell you, Dan Woodward has to die every morning. I get up in the morning. Every morning I get up. And as I've gotten older, it's changed a little bit. But I sit on the side of the bed. And the first, I used to say, Lord, help me to crucify the flesh. Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to you. Help me to cross the path if Jesus were here, he'd help me. That he would help them. And now I get up and say, now what doesn't hurt? I said, Lord, then I pray, Lord, help me. But then sometimes I wake up, Brother Adrian, where am I? Oh, yeah, I'm at home. But again, I must die daily. Young people, if you could learn this at a young age to die daily, You don't die to anything the world has to offer you. You don't lose anything. When you die to that old flesh, you begin to gain. Romans chapter 8, verse 36, as it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. And again, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Again, Psalms 44 and verse 20, sheep. It talks about being sheep for the slaughter. We are sheep to be ready for the slaughter. It's not about us. It's about what God could do with us. If we went back in time and Dan Woodward didn't surrender to do what God wanted him to do, if Dan Woodward wouldn't have died, Alan, you wouldn't be here. I was very influential in your family getting in church. There's a whole bunch of kids across the back. Matt, you wouldn't work at First Baptist. Maybe I shouldn't have. No, Matt's a blessing. But literally, history is changed by one life's decision. And by the way, your life has a path. Your life has a direction. And if you don't die to yourself, if you don't die to what you want to do and live unto God, the course of history could be changed. These verses echo in Jesus' command in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, where it says, take up your cross, follow me. And then it says in Galatians again in chapter 2 and verse 20, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live again in this flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God. And I remind you, He could be trusted with what's going on in your life. He can be trusted, young people. But I don't know what the future holds. I'm so worried. Don't worry about it. I want to just take one step because I'm going to take another step. And how many seniors are in here? Let me see your hand, you seniors. And, man, this is it. From here on out, it just after Pilate's convention, whew, the year's over. I'm telling you, that's what it's going to be. You're going to be done. There'll be no more school, no more Brother Bragg. And he's done. Hello, no more Brother Matt Payne. No more Brother Payne jokes. Amen. Yeah, that's worth just, you know. Hello. No more Brother Walker. Now listen to me. You'll never walk this way again. But what a blessing to understand what's ahead for you. I can live it by faith. If we live this fleshly life on earth by faith, because the reason we can walk that way is because He knows the way. We sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is... Would you get on key? Come on. I set you up and... Oh, listen. That's all we have to do is follow. It's not hard. This Christian life is not... When I finally figured out, it's not hard. It's something I can do. I can live for Him. I can give Him my life. I can give Him my all. Then I like this. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. He loved me. He loved me, I'm going to be honest with you, when I was very unlovable. Very unlovable. And He loved me. And I'm going to say... this, He loves you too. He loves you too. If you're here without Christ, He loves you. He died for you. Lastly, and I'll be done. When I understand my why, I have the ability to live by grace. God gives me grace. It says, verse 20, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I'm going to tell you what's going on. Some of you Christian young people are frustrating the grace of God. God wants to help you and God wants to guide you and He wants to use you along the way. And you're frustrating the grace of God. You're wasting it. You're wasting the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ rest upon me. Paul had an infirmity. Paul could have complained. He could have griped. But he didn't. He wanted the power of God to rest upon him. I've seen it, and Brother Angel, you and I have seen over the years, we've been called on Sunday morning and we talk and we'll be sick. And we'll say, I don't know how many, I just got to get through today. Boy, I can get through today. And we'll talk in a few days. How'd it go Sunday? He said, man, God showed up. Why'd He show up? Because we weren't in the way. We were weak. That's when God does a great work. You see, as a young person, you have access to all the grace of God. Philippians 4. And verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. 1 Peter 5:17, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, don't miss it. Don't miss it where we're at. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Listen, content, young people. I just gave you some of the most powerful verses that could carry you the rest of your life. Just having that little bit of the Word of God to hold on to when hard times come. Your critical thinking is important to understand that God's in control. There's a reason that you need to understand your why. These are days to establish your critical thinking. I'm not talking about, when I say critical, I'm not talking about being critical, but I'm talking about the critical issues of life. That I know why I believe. First and foremost, that I need to get saved. I want to say this. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. But I don't want to hear one day that young person was under the sound of my voice when the year I spoke at Pilate's and I made a plea for salvation and they were too proud. What will people say? What will my friends think? What will my parents think? What will my preacher think? Who cares what they think? The truth is, what will they think? They will rejoice. They will rejoice. Oh, the need to get saved. I would like every head bowed, every eye closed. First, I asked you to hold on to that thought about getting saved. There's some other things that I'm going to ask for in a minute. But I wonder if you're here, you'd be honest with me and honest with God. You say, Brother Woodward, every time I hear the gospel preached, there's a stirring in my stomach. And listen to me, young people, it'll never be easier than it is right now to get saved. Don't put it off. Don't harden your heart. I wonder if you're here and say, Preacher, I am not sure that I'm saved. I need to get that settled tonight. Is there a young person who would admit quietly in this moment, slip your hand up to the preacher, Brother Woodward, that's me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure. I struggle at invitation. I struggle with that. I've been thinking about it, and believe me, the Spirit of God right now will move in hearts and in your life and help you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't let pride. But you'd slip your hand up right now and say, Preacher, that's me. Somebody like that. Come on. We're going to wait just a minute. God bless you, young man. See? There's one. I wonder who joined us once, said preacher. I'm not sure. Another one right here. God bless you. Who else would say, preacher, I need to get that settled. Another here. There's a reason the Lord laid that on my heart. And I fought him about it. I argue with him. These are all saved kids. No, some of you have been going through the motions. I wonder if you're here and you say, preacher, I need to get that settled. I'm going to get it settled right now. Who would join these that have raised their hand already? Others. We'll wait. Brother Angel, I grew up in a church that used to sing 100 verses of Just As I Am and wait and wait and wait. By the way, that's when I got saved after it went on forever and ever and ever and ever. Sometimes we get in a big hurry. Who else would join these? Who else would join these right now? I wonder if you raise your hand, I might have a word of prayer for you. Father, bless these that have raised their hand to get saved. I pray they do what's right. I'm with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask you if you raise your hand to stand up right where you're at. Just stand up. Young man, if you'd stand up. Someone else, stand up. Stand up. If you raised your hand and said, I'm not, stand up. God bless you. Slip out of your seat. Come and let me get a soul winner with you right now. Right now. We've got a lot of work to do yet tonight. It's invitation time. But young man, won't you come? Just slip out of your seat. They'll let you by. Come on, come on, come on, come on. They'll let you out. Don't worry. We want to get this settled. We don't mess around. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. With heads bowed and eyes closed, head bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight, are you willing to sanctify your heart, to set it apart? Are you willing to say, I want to sanctify my heart and set it, I want to be set apart to be used of God with heads bowed and eyes closed? You'd slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'm willing to do that tonight. I want to sanctify my heart around the room. God bless you, young people. God bless you. Father, you see these hands. I pray that you'd help them to do what they need to do with heads bowed and eyes closed. I would ask you if you just raise your hand, if you'd stand up. If you just raise your hand and ask me to pray for you, stand up right where you are. Stand up. Come on. I want you to slip out of your seat and find your way to an altar right now. The rest of you just stay seated. Let these come. Let these come. Come on. Come on. You're doing business with God. You come. You come. You come. Now don't move. Don't get in a hurry at the altar. We're not in a hurry. This is our last time together. We're not in a hurry. But I'm going to ask the next thing. I wonder if you're here and again... You say, I want to be prepared for the next generation. And in preparation, I want to be one that willing to crucify my own flesh. I want to crucify. I want to live the crucified life. And you're not at the altar, but you're sitting out there tonight, and you'd say, preacher, there's some things I need to crucify in my life. I need to die to self. And you'd slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. There's some things I need. Yeah, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Stand up right where you're at. And I want you to find your way to the altar, whether it's to an outside wall. Fill the aisles up. Come. It's already full. But you do business with God. Do business with God. Some of you need to crucify the flesh. Stay. I don't want you to go back to your seat. I want you to stay because I want to have prayer over all of you if I could in a minute. But I wonder this. Hey, God's promise of grace to help you. I wonder if you're here this evening and say, you know what? I want to be reminded of the grace of God all the days of my life, and I want to be willing. I wanted to be willing to hold on to the grace of God. And tonight you'd say, preacher, that's me. Would you pray for me? That's me. And you're not at the altar, and you're sitting out there, and you'd slip your hand up and say, preacher, I want to hold on to the grace of God. I don't want to. Listen to me. I do not want to frustrate the grace of God. And you slip up your hand, say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. God bless you. Several hands around the room. You stand to your feet and the altar is yours. You come and do business with God. As the pianist begins to play, if I've missed anything, let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. People are doing business. Come on, the altar is yours. You come. Understanding my why, my critical thinking. Hey, am I preparing, getting my critical issues of life prepared? Or am I holding on to my peers in shared ignorance. Shared ignorance. Now I grab the Word of God. How about some of the rest of you that haven't responded this week? Haven't responded all week long. God's been dealing with your heart. As folks are finishing, just stand right where you are. Hold on 1 minute right now. Hold this song for 1 second, Naomi. I'm going to have a word of prayer for these. Listen to me. Walking an aisle is not the answer to everything. It's but the beginning. It's what you do as you get off of the altar from here. Set forth a plan. How am I going to have my critical thinking established? I've given you some tools about the crucified life. Let me have a word of prayer over you all. Father, bless these young people, I pray. Lord, that they would leave this place not stirred but changed. That they would stop and think about the decisions and write them down. Lord, in my flyleaf, you know I've written hundreds of decisions that I've made, even decisions in this auditorium that I've made in years gone by at the revival fires, at the God Save Americas that have been done here, that I've put together a plan. And I pray for these young people, they put together a plan, and you'd use them in a mighty way. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As the pianist continues to play, you can make your way back to your seat. Let me say a couple of things. You've been a very tender crowd to preach to. I don't know if I've ever preached to a more tender crowd of young people. You know, maybe some of you young men, God would call you to preach. We need some preachers. This is the biggest preaching year we ever had here of young men preaching. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you for being so tender. I appreciate y'all so much. Again, Brother Bragg, come on.